Welcome to the Our Voices Oral Histories podcast, coordinated by The Common Room and presented by Dr. Andy Clark, Research Associate with the Newcastle Oral History Collective. In this episode, we talk to David Trelevin, a mechanical engineer. We ask him about his apprenticeship and how he got his start with British engines.
Well, when I left school, I had an interest in engineering, actually at school before that. I always did engineering-based subjects in my GCSEs. And I decided that sixth form and A-levels weren't for me. I didn't fancy going to college, and I instead got an apprenticeship with an engineering firm called British Engines, who offer a great apprenticeship scheme in the Northeast. And I've eventually worked my way through, completed my apprenticeship, and now I'm a fully qualified mechanical engineer. So that's how I've come to be part of this this plan.
You said that at school you were kind of interested in engineering subjects. Talk to us a little bit about that. What was it that interested you when you were younger?
Well, I've always had a knack for Lego, to start things. So, I would say I've always liked to build stuff with my Lego, and I've had enjoyed Meccano, and then I took an interest in that. So at school, when I decided my options for my GCSEs, I chose product design. And also BTEC engineering was on the offer, which wasn't as I thought it was going to be. It was more, it wasn't as practical based. It was more like computer based and typing stuff up. But still, certainly a lot of the theoretical side of it there. But in product design, and I always learned the practical stuff. Making your own products was really what I enjoyed there. All the designs and even like from the start, right to like just coming up with ideas to the finished product and then evaluating it, thinking how you could do better next time. I really enjoyed the whole process.
Was there much background in engineering in your family? You know, you said in the house you were playing Lego and stuff. Was there any kind of tradition of that amongst your parents or grandparents?
Well, my grandparents, one of them was a car mechanic, so he's got an automotive engineering background. My background's not automotive engineer; it's more like machining based, so like producing components to high tight tolerance parts. Other than that, I wouldn't say, apart from my brother, who's he's a plumbing and heating engineer, so he's got more of a household trade. Rather than my workplace is normally inside a factory or a shop floor, not that. So I would say, yes, it is an engineering-based family partly, but my type of engineering is a lot different to anything else we've had in the family previously.
And when you were looking to do that engineering path when you were in school, when was that? When were you? What year were you kind of looking at your GCSEs?
Previously it was in year 10, and I think our year group was the first year group where they'd moved it back. So now you did it in year 9. So you start in year 9. So we're looking at halfway through year 8 was when they were asking us to decide on our options for GCSEs. So it was quite young, really, I think. I think it was a bit too early, maybe, because you hadn't quite had the experience of all the subjects within the school. You'd only been in, because obviously in secondary school, you only start from year 7. So it's only a year and a half, you're talking, of getting experience of all the subjects before deciding really what you wanted to do.
What was it like in school when you said, no, that's, you wanted to go down that kind of apprenticeship vocational education route rather than higher education? What was the kind of support like for you in making that kind of decision?
I would say the support wasn't exceptional in the fact that you had to reach out for it rather than it. I'm not saying it should be handed to you on a plate, but there should be more ready support available. You really got to go digging, or at least I did anyway, because to find a careers advisor. There was a careers advisor on hand in the school, but I always felt that it was a bit lacklust, and the fact that they kind of wanted you to stay on at school and do your at least do your A levels and then make a decision, which for a lot of people it might be a good idea, and I'm not saying it's not, but it's for me it wasn't quite there, and I don't think that the path that I wanted to take there was enough support for it from anybody within the school.
You talked about kind of having to go and dig around yourself. What kind of things were it that you had to go looking for?
Well, it ranged from a lot of things. I mean, like the local council provided some apprenticeship open events. I even went to some college open events to see if that was right for me. It ended up not being right. I also went to, there was an organization called Connections, but I'm not sure if they're still a thing anymore. They used to have an office locally in the local town, but they don't anymore. I don't know if they've moved or something. But they were the local careers advice people, and you had to physically go to the office outside of school time to and organize an appointment with somebody. And that's how I kind of got everything explained to me, like my options and that. And eventually I just decided I'll apply for a few apprenticeships, and eventually I ended up securing one with British Engines, which is great.
What was it like applying for apprenticeships when you were 16? What do you remember of that process? Because it's a big jump from school to kind of formally applying for apprenticeships for work. What do you remember of doing that?
Yeah, well, obviously at the time I hadn't had any experience really with applying for jobs and that, other than I did have a paper round when I was in school still, so I didn't really have to apply for that job though. Obviously, just the case of the internet, we've still got websites and that, and you just go on careers pages. A lot of companies do advertise their apprenticeships quite well. I'm not sure whether that's because they can't get the people that they want or something like that, but the apprentice vacancies that I saw were quite attractive for like, especially being at 16, that the some of the offerings they were offering were really good. So I thought, well, why not apply? And then all the applications tended to be online, and then you had to go to assessment centres. Some of them I didn't do so well in the assessment centres. Some of them I did and get the next stage. Obviously, eventually it'd take you through all these tests, and then eventually if you get an interview. And it just happened to be that with British Engines, all of the application process just went really smoothly for me, and I think that's why they eventually offered me the job.
And how many different schemes did you apply for?
I must have said at least six or seven. I think I got accepted at the two, but eventually I ended up choosing British Engines because they've got a good local reputation here in the Northeast for being a good business. So,
I mean, you talked about what the businesses were offering. What were you looking for an apprenticeship? Was it dependent on the trade that you would learn, or was it more focused on, like you say, the reputation? What were the things that you kind of thought about when applying to different schemes?
Well, I was looking for something more, obviously, along the lines of engineering to start with, because there's lots of different apprenticeships. You can get business admin apprenticeships, mm-hmm. and there's a variety of other trades you can offer. But I was looking for something engineering-based. Doesn't have to be anything in particular. I could have went automotive or anything like that. But I was looking for something which would be a good career to get into, and I thought I had a long-term future in it. So eventually I thought British Engines has probably got a long-term future because they've been established for nearly 100 years now. I think it's 100 years next year the company's been established. And also, as I say, they're not the only company that do that sort of engineering, so there's plenty of options and career progression you could get into with different businesses.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned the assessment centres, some you did well, some you did less well. What do you remember of the kind of things you were asked to do at assessments?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll start with the bad ones. So one of them, I think it was got, obviously I passed the initial application stage, filled in the application form. They'd said, we'll invite you to an assessment centre. I got there, got in, and it was basically, I think it was taking something apart and putting something back together. So, you know, I thought, great, this is my element. Unfortunately, it was to do with electronics, and electronics is something I've never really had any experience with. I didn't do electronics really at school at all, apart from like the basic functions of a circuit, now which you do in science, but nothing technologically based. And it just was so complex for something that I'd never really had any experience with. So I think I ended up taking it back apart. And by the time ran out, because there was a time limit on how long it takes you to disassemble it and reassemble it. I just made a massive mess of that, and I don't think that application went any further. The good ones, as I say, British Engines, I think it was maths and English I had to do with them, and then the actual practical engineering sort of tests didn't come till later on. And I flew through the engineering and the the maths and the English side of things. The English was just that kind of GCSE standard, but then the maths was a bit more advanced. And I think there was another one I had that again, it was just taking something apart but putting it back together, but that was a mechanical sort of thing. So with Meccano and that, I had more experience with that. Essentially, I just don't think I've done well with that first one because it was electronic and it had the circuits, just at the time I didn't know anything about them. So again, experience is really, really beneficial, which of course an apprenticeship gives you, which is another reason why you get out of that loophole of can't get a job without experience and can't get experience without a job.
Especially dealing with electrics for the first time in an application situation with a timer on. I mean, that must have been pretty hard going.
It was. I think when I looked at it at the start and I thought, I could probably do this, but with it being electrical, I'm not going to be able to remember. They didn't give you anything to write anything down. It all had to be done by memory. I think I felt like I had to be an expert before I even started. So I felt that that one definitely wasn't going to go well already. So obviously they didn't progress me through the next stage, but you live and learn. So I did my research into a bit of electronics on that, and it's actually at the time I should have done some research beforehand, because somebody had actually put online who's been in one of the assessment centers and showed you the diagram that you knew, so you would have got a bit of former knowledge before I actually went in there and did it.
So when you did the maths and English side for the British Engines, and then you did what was the engineering kind of practical exam for them, what was that like?
Well, it was obviously my job's to do with a CNC machine, and so it was more to do with the inspection side of things, like bits of precision measuring equipment, like a micrometer and a vernier, just asking you how you would use them. Luckily, at school in product design, we had a bit of experience using basic bits of measuring equipment like that. They weren't expecting, obviously, to be a master at CNC machining or anything. We didn't have a CNC machine at my secondary school, so I'd never touched one of those until I actually started the job. So I think that sort of like test before in the application process was more suited to like a basic level of knowledge. The one I was referring to before about the electronics, and I felt like that was, although you could apply from when you were age 16 for the apprenticeship, I think that was probably like aimed at people who had a bit more experience, even like in just like academic terms, like to do with electronics, and that they might have had a better chance at obviously succeeding in that.
No idea. And then when you went through that, you then went to an interview. What do you remember of the interview for British Engines?
Yeah, well, actually, it was a two-stage interview process for British Engines. Firstly, the first one was held by the Engineering Training Centre, which is on Scotland Road, mm-hmm. Or it was at the time anyway. I think they're moving it now because it's been bought out by TDR. Obviously, it used to be owned by Rolls-Royce when they owned part of Michelin Bearings, which is on the same site. I think the meeting there was with the manager and somebody in human resources from the engineering training center there. And they just, I can't really remember this one very well. It was obviously just a standard interview, I think, about asking questions about your engineering experience more than your suitability for the job. Because obviously with them being a training center, it's not to do with work, it's to do with training for the workplace. And then they passed off on that and they accepted that. So then I'm assuming British Engines must have applied me to a company, because they've got several different companies within the group, which is British Engines is a group of companies. And at the time I was asked to go to an interview at Bell Valves, which is the the first site of British Engines, which is at the bottom of next to Spiller's Wharf on the quayside. Where the new wire wheel is going to be going very soon, right next to there. And that interview was with just a department manager from the company there and also the HR manager for the apprenticeship scheme for British Engines Group. And again, it was just, it wasn't such a competency-based interview. That was, again, just an interview seeing if you'd be suitable for a job, just in general. And I try to be as honest as possible, and I think that really what what threw them for me, because I think the HR person in the interview was really happy with how I conducted myself and how honest I'd been. So I felt like it went well, just out of all the other interviews I'd done, I felt like that one was really good. So and eventually, I think it was a couple of weeks after that, they offered me a position and a job, give me a contract with a post and everything. So signed all the paperwork, made a start at the engineering training center for 3 months, did my basic training there before going to the factory and then going to college for 1 day a week. And then a few years later, here we are.
How did it feel when you got the phone call saying you'd been accepted?
Oh, I was absolutely elated, because I think it was about May or June when I got accepted. So it was getting on a bit in the academic year. And obviously I'd already said that I wasn't going to sixth form, so it would have been a bit of a carry on to backtrack and then have to go through the whole process of seeing if there were any places on any of the courses I want to do, or if there was any other companies that would accept me for an apprenticeship at the time. And it's been, I think it's a legal requirement now for people between 16 and 18 still to be in some form of like learning based environment, even if it's just part-time. So I wasn't running out of options, but you know, it was getting close, and you're thinking it's either a win or lose situation here. So I was pretty happy, and they gave me a start date. I wasn't too happy with the start date, because it was the 27th of June. It was actually the last day of my my final GCSE exam. So unfortunately, I had to ring them up and say I can't come in the morning because I've still got an exam. So finished that exam off and then started work the next day. So never really had a summer holiday that year. And it's been work ever since.
That's like a brutal introduction to adult life, isn't it? It's like you don't get summer holidays anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly wasn't the same as everybody else who I know. So it was a bit more grueling. But it was a lovely summer as well. It was a lovely summer day. I remember cycling to work during the summer. It was excellent, excellent weather. But apart from that, being stuck inside a factory on a scalding hot day is not the best thing. But it's life.
So when you signed on to your apprenticeship, were you signed on to a specific trade that you would be apprenticed in, or is it more of a general program of engineering apprenticeship? Because
I think British Engineers have got either fitting, machining, or like a maintenance, as in a mechanical maintenance person or a maintenance electrical person. And I didn't get to choose between those. Most of them do become machinists, and I am a machinist, because that's largely the workforce in British Engineers is made up of. I think that particular, in that case at Bell Valves, they were only taking machinists on. Yeah, so after the 3 months, the next step was going to the workplace 4 days a week, and then to college for 1 day a week. That would be on a Tuesday the first year. So that college day was used to do the BTEC level 3 qualification, which is in mechanical engineering, I think, or manufacturing engineering, I think was the title. Yeah, manufacturing engineering. So that was more academic based, but there was a bit of practical elements in there in certain lessons. And at the workplace, you'd be just moving around the different areas of the shop floor, learning about different machining. I think I started in grinding for the first 3 months, and then I moved to large horizontal borers. Then I went into the medium section for a bit to do more turning, and then eventually moved back to the horizontal borers. And I was on there for, I think, probably two or three years. And then I moved back to a smaller machine. So I do 3-axis milling machining now. And I've still got a variety of machines in my belt that I know, which is always a benefit.
What were the differences between being in the engineering school and then going to the shop floor? What do you remember of your kind of thoughts when you first got into the workplace, and that was you going to be based in a factory rather than a trading centre?
I think the training center was a bit more old-fashioned, if you like. They had that because they still had like a sort of from what I've learned online and stuff like that, They've got more of a traditional sense of like how a factory should run. Like they've literally got a they had a beacon which sirens when you start, when you finish, or when there's a shift change or a lunch break or anything like that. In the factory, it was a lot more relaxed in the sense that you have more independence, that you come in because you people who work there obviously are experienced in the role. I think in the training school, there's more to sort of guide you to make sure you were doing the right things at the right time to gear you up so that in when you come into the workplace, then you're actually able to do the job properly and, you know, be able to act independently and not have somebody constantly on your back all your time, making sure you're doing everything right. So the workplace was probably, well, it definitely was different in the sense that it was much more independence and you kind of left to your own devices to make the decisions. And then if that decision obviously involves you having to work with somebody else, then you work with them.
What was the relationship like between you as an apprentice and the kind of time-served craftsman?
To be honest, I think they were quite friendly, most of them. You did have the oddball or somebody who was a bit of an old hand, but they're sometimes the best ones to learn from. So some people don't, I'm not saying all people do, but sometimes you get a culture of where people are not really able to pass on the knowledge or not wanting to in case they think that it's going to harm them in some way. But a lot of people were quite open and really, as long as you're willing to learn, they'll help you learn, sort of thing. So
was there any of the go for a long stand or a tin of tartan paint? Was there any?
Oh yeah, that was definitely the sort of jokes like that we definitely had. But on the large part, you know, it was quite a laugh and a joke. It wasn't anything like some of the stories I've heard in the old days where people get strung up in on a crane for the lunch break and have to sit swaying from the top of the crane for a while. That's one of the ones I heard.
Just tell us about what it was like day to day being an apprentice. What kind of jobs were you given? What was the on job training like over those few months when you were first in the factory?
Well, some of the jobs aren't the best ones in the world as an apprentice, but on the large part, I think the training side of things was you just kind of left to it with the person who you're on the machine with, who's obviously experienced and knows what they're doing. And they provide you with the information that obviously depends on what work's on that particular day. Sometimes if there's not a lot of work on, then there'll be pushing on to other jobs that won't be as nice, like cleaning and stuff. But on other days when there's a busy day with work, it can actually be quite productive and quite beneficial to your learning. So there's a lot of setting and programming and operating of the machine. It's all to be learnt, and you've only got 4 years to do it. It sounds like a long time, but honestly, it isn't. And as I say, even though I've finished our apprenticeship now, you're still learning all the time. I mean, recently I've been learning how to work a CMM machine, which is like a coordinate measurement machine. So it comes in with a probe and takes measurements to measure the sizes of all different features on metal components. So that's obviously not to do with CNC machining, but again, it's expanding my flexibility within the business to enable us to have a good flow of the work through the production section.
I'll let you get going, because I know you've got night shift to go and start later on. But just as a kind of last, so we've covered why you get an apprenticeship, how you get an apprenticeship, how you did your apprenticeship, what your future plans are. One of the aims of these interviews is to let school kids listen to them and think about their future career. If you were giving advice to someone who is in the GCSE level where you were when you decided the apprenticeship, if you were explain to them why an apprenticeship and an engineering trade is a good career option, what do you think you would say to them?
Well, some people will be money motivated, so I'll definitely say that the earning side of things is nice. It may not seem a lot of money initially, but it is in the scheme of things when you're 16 and you've got no bills or you've got very little bills. In the scheme of things like that, it's great. Even if you're a bit older, it's still obviously short term pain, long term gain. You might have had a better paying job before. Obviously, even working like supermarkets and that, you're earning £9-10 an hour these days. But obviously, if you move from a supermarket job to like an apprentice wage, it's a short-term pain. If you can afford it, I would definitely say do it, because it's worth it in the long term, isn't it? With the better pay afterwards. If you're not money motivated and you want the skill, or you want a job that you'll enjoy, get some work experience. Because one thing that I haven't mentioned in the interview actually is work experience. I was quite disappointed that the government have actually have removed the week work experience that you would do in year 10 at school.
Oh, have they?
They've removed that now, but you'd still do it in the sixth form years. I think it's year 12 you do it in, but in year 10 they don't do it anymore because they didn't see any benefit to it. But I would certainly say if you wanted to try and organise some work experience outside of that, like a week in the summer holidays somewhere, just do a placement there, or even try and contact your school. Some schools are quite good at it, and they've got like good connections with companies who'll do placements in work. I think British Engine, they've got a good connection with Gosforth or something. Get some advice, get some proper advice. I don't know if your schools have got careers people in them, or if they're hiding away somewhere and you have to go and seek them out. Make sure you seek them out, have a look, ask them questions, ask them what's best for you. But again, at the end of the day, it is your decision, isn't it? So we try and get the advice. That's what my top thing to do is.
Our Voices is funded by the National Lottery Heritage Fund in association with The Common Room and Dr. Andy Clark. To find out more about the work of The Common Room, please visit www.thecommonroom.org.uk or email programme@thecommonroom.org.uk.